Good evening. Welcome to the Linux Link Tech Show.
It snuck right up on you, didn't it?
I was debating whether to say good evening or just something else. I figured, why not go with the good evening? Episode 73.
You really wanted to say, smell my finger.
My big toe. Smell under the table. Nothing special tonight episode, huh? Just a lot of talking, a lot of stuff to go through.
Well, that's special.
No
right?
guests. Yeah.
It's tech just, show the old way.
It's just us tonight.
The old-fashioned...
episode 73.
We'll talk about what we want to freaking talk about.
Damn it, you got that right. And we're graced by a bunch of mirrors now. This is fantastic. You don't have to come to us for this. The stream. In fact, we don't want you to come to us for the stream. Go to BinRev. Go to
No, we have those listed on the tech show page, right?
Go to our web page.
We've got those listed on the web page for everybody.
Yeah, we have BinRev. We got media.sysop.california. We have WDSMN or Canada. Sorry, WDSMN.com. Three wonderful mirrors that you can listen to the show live. And then if you want to hear the stuff that we stream throughout the week, the Lug Radio's episodes, the Linux Box, the Tech Show episodes, come back and we'll be streaming those throughout the week. The latest, usually latest three episodes on a rotation.
That's what...
With some crap in between.
I just realized I've got to go get larger headphones. You guys all have the big headphones.
You have headphone envy.
Yeah, I've got headphone envy going on here.
Is yours? Do you have volume control on this?
Oh yeah.
Do you have volume control on your sides? Oh, but can you? I can
both
turn
sides.
I can turn Alan down on one side and turn Link up on the other.
Yeah, but it doesn't make any difference with mono anyway.
I know, but it's just the thought that counts.
All right.
Maybe with that
promo.
Maybe with that new hacking thing, we could get stereo going through there. But yeah, play a promo.
Promo it is.
Hello, this is Andrew Krauthammel, one of the Skype in regulars, and one of the few Gen 2 users who listens to the Ubuntu show. I mean the Linux Link Tech Show.
That's just dirty.
Are you tired of when iPodder crashes or misses a podcast? Is iPodder X not powerful enough? Are you tired of the software not doing what you want it to do? Need a podcatcher that works on multiple platforms such as Linux, Mac OS X, AIX, and even Windows. Then try Bashpodder. Bashpodder does what you want it to do and when you want it. Bashpodder. It just works.
I think it also works on Solaris, too.
Yeah.
Will it work on Palm OS?
With a little engineer? Yeah, probably.
Hi, this is Joel from Columbus, Ohio, when we're not cheering our Buckeyes on to another victory. We're listening to the Linux Link Tech Show. Go Bucks!
Ba-dun-dun! And that's it. That one just kind of, you know.
Quick ending.
Yeah.
Man, I said this to you before. I'm going to say it to you again. NewsForge kind of dissed you.
Oh, that sucked, man.
Podcasting how-to on Linux and data.
And it doesn't talk about Bash,
but it's iPod.
What the hell do they know?
Nobody likes...
Yeah, that's right. Suckers.
Oh, well, what are you going to do?
I don't know. But I thought that was really cool that that I was sent an ad for a BassBotter. And, like, I don't know, I never asked anybody specifically to send me praises, but they do it anyway. But thanks, Joel. That was really cool, and I'm going to be playing that a lot. So,
where is it?
Over and over again.
It's the ad for BassBotter, yeah.
We played over again.
We need, you need to send it to me so I can put it on the stream.
I don't know, all kinds of stuff.
And we can incorporate it into the bits.
Yeah. We can just have BassBotter ads rolling all the time because, you know, if you really want, contrary to what the recent NewsForge article says, if you really want to get your podcasts with some regularity and not have to monkey fart with the program, BassBotter is indeed the one to use. So there.
Works for me.
Right. Works for me, too. Which is good because I wrote it. So
you know. I think it should work for you. Or at least I hope it would.
If it didn't work for me, then it would really be a problem. But listen, I wanted to...
When is BassBotter going to get its own page? Aside from that download page. And like something with a little flair where you can show the logos instead of just click here to look at the logos. Like its own official BassBotter
official
page.
Official page? I don't know. I probably could do that at some point in time.
My vote is for the fist smashing the lemon thing.
Yeah, it was just BassBotter was just a, I was pissed off at midnight kind of thing and wanted to grab some podcasts and couldn't do it with anything else. So, and it's kind of just, I stuck it in my little scripts directory and happy. But who did plug BassBotter on their website too? Was Lug Radio. Did you see that?
Yeah, I thought I saw
yes.
that.
Yes, Lug Radio's
new website.
I'm trying to
remember website. Where I saw the ad. Yeah,
you know who
there.
Doesn't plug BassBotter and you'd think that they would? The
who's
son
that?
Of a, it's that damn... son of a, the LinuxLink.net doesn't even have anything on there about BassBotter.
It should have something on there, I would think.
Well, on the remake, which goes up hopefully tonight, it'll definitely be on there.
Oh!
A new version.
Look at this. Listen, this is like, inside information.
He's got the new version of a page. He's got ambience going on in the room today. We got like candles and
stinky
Dan's
candles.
Going over to his like softer side. I think.
Well, I could blow these candles out and we can let the rug.
Wasn't it like when we walked in? Wasn't it playing like "I Touch Myself"? That song.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. Well, he's got like All Woman magazine over there on the
wife. Scented candles that smell like some kind of passion fruit kind of thing going on.
Yeah, but what's it in your office?
I'm telling you,
a lot of stuff ends up in this office. You should have seen the crap I cleaned out.
It's
here
like
today.
My daughter's bedroom. Everything in the free world ends up in my daughter's bedroom. Anything I lose, it's in there.
It's got to be in there.
Well, listen, I wanted to, and I did bring up Lug Radio's website. They have a new website that they just came out with.
Looks really nice.
Yeah, on Monday when they released their newest version of their show, their newest episode. New website up there. Check it out, lugradio.org. Looks really, really nice. In fact, it looks so damn nice that I made comments to Matt that we're going to have to redesign our site now because, in comparison, ours really looks
shitty. It is. It's a
very
beautiful site.
But it's really good. And
put a copy of theirs only with our name on the top.
Yeah. Well, I thought about that. We can just kind of W-get, suck it right over. Wouldn't that be funny? That'd be good just for a gag. Hey, guys, keep looking at our site. Maybe it'll look real familiar. So, anyway.
You know what I want to make a comment about their site.
Okay.
Not about their site, so to speak, but when I was looking at their site, one thing that I don't know how I ever missed this in CSS, but the big question I was always having was I saw a lot of sites that are a fixed size, but they're centered on the page, and how they did that in CSS. And a lot of sites that I looked at prior to theirs was like Flash sites, so I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. But I never realized that if you put for a margin auto, it'll center it in that section. So if it's the page, it'll center that block on the page. And, of course, they make their main page, their whole body section, 790 pixels wide.
Mm-hmm.
And then they do a margin auto, which centers it on the page.
Right.
And now you can do that because I've always had a problem with how do I take a block that's not necessarily the whole page, but in a page I have a block. And in that block, which is maybe not the entire width of the page, have another block in there that's centered within that block that you can't really use text to align. And the center tag's deprecated. How do I center it in there? And it's just putting that block, giving it the value margin auto.
I always did it just by centering the tag that it was in, you know.
But
it was a table or something like
but
that.
But if you have a the center tag is being deprecated.
They say.
Well, I'm just saying, if you want to do a pure CSS,
they say
margin
that it's being
auto,
depreciated.
And it works.
They also say that tables
perfectly.
Are being depreciated, and they say a lot of things are being depreciated. But you know what? Still works. Not only does
it
still
works.
Work, it works better in most instances than.
Now, Lug Radio site, no tables.
It's a beautiful site.
I really like that.
Totally.
But I do have a CSS question for all those people out there who listen to us. This is my question. Now, in a table, in a page you have a table, say you wanted two like blocks of text. Maybe you have two columns. Well, in a table you'd have three columns. You'd have one column with one bit of information, and then a column. You could put a column in there that's just a divider in between the two columns to give some space, or you can use widths or whatever, margins instead of padding. And then you have the third column. Now, you can specify you don't have to specify the height. Those columns will end up being the same height for that row according to the largest column. The data that's in the largest column. So if your first column has more information than the third column, the third column will end up being the same size as the first. You know where I'm going with that?
Not necessarily. I've seen
sizes. It'll be the same height.
Yeah, I've seen them.
Because the row has to be the same height, unless you're doing column spanning or row spanning, where you have one column span across two rows. Mm-hmm. And then you could have the third column only on one, and then... Anyway, the column is generally, in a basic table design, the row is the same height, so the columns end up being the same height across the table row. All right? You got me there.
Mm-hmm.
So if the third column has more information than the first column still ends up being the same height as the third. So if you take that, you pull out the table, and you just use divs, okay? And you put a border around the divs, and you don't specify a height for the div, those divs will end up being different sizes.
Right.
And it'll be proportional to the text. Now,
If
you put both of those divs in a larger div, and you take the smaller div, and you say make it 100% high in height, it'll flush itself out to almost...
Make it 100% high.
Yeah. Make it the height value
100%. I am so lost right now.
It'll flush itself out to be close to the same size, but
right.
not exactly as the first div.
Right.
You will still have about 5 or 6 pixel difference at the bottom if you have a border around both.
Okay.
The smaller one, the shorter, the one with the less information in it, will be 5 to 6 pixels smaller than the one with more information. Why can't you get those, or how do you get those to match up equally without specifying a specific height?
You know what? I think you should check your settings and stuff, because I'm pretty sure that I've done that before and had both of them come out to the same height.
Because I was
is there
with
like
that?
Like a padding setting or something like that?
Well, when you now
something
when you throw in padding, and I think that's where it goes off. If I give both values a padding, both the same padding, I still had the problem, and I see this all the time. If I don't specify the exact height value of that div, I get.
We've got a request for a streaming whiteboard right about now.
Yeah, it would be nice, and I should have put up. I should have put up the page to show exactly what I was talking about. But how can you get both divs? Because if you mess around, if you have a page that's fluid, that conforms itself to the
right.
entire size of the person's page, like the screen, instead of specifying a width for the page like 800 pixels wide,
mm-hmm.
instead, and then you use percentages for like the width of those blocks inside of there.
Right.
So instead of having it be, or you don't even have to use percentages. Oh yeah, percentages. I'm sorry. Say it was 45% for each block, so you have 5% margin in between them. And if they can, they'll collapse in on one another, and the boxes will actually grow.
Right.
But if you specify a height value, the boxes won't grow, and the information will flop right outside the border because it can't be fit contained in that exact
right. Div.
I
have no idea. See, that's one of the reasons why I think CSS, to me, you know, and it could be just me and you that we both have problems with using some CSS. I don't think it's as full function as it needs to be yet. I think it works really great in addition to standard HTML. Standalone, even though, like a standalone, there's a few shortcomings that, you know, if you're not using that kind of thing, they work great. But if you're doing that sort of thing, I end up doing that sort of thing too. I get frustrated, and I just switch back to tables, which work the way they're supposed to, and you know, and I might use some CSS on the table tags and make them fancy or something like that. But
I love CSS though. And I get one more question I would have with CSS is, you could specify a width, but is it possible to specify a minimum width, so to speak? That, again, if you use a fluid layout where you just say 100%, the page flows across 100% of the size of the person's screen, and they can, so if it's 800 by 600, it takes up 800. If it's 1024, it takes up 1024, and it flows accordingly. But the reverse to that is, if they shrink their screen down to 400 pixels wide, it crunches everything into that 400 pixels.
Yeah, unless you specify a static width, in which case,
right,
when it's 1024, it's still 600 wide or something.
Right.
Like that.
So I'm wondering if there's a way to get around that, to specify. I mean, instead of things just start overlapping one another and falling apart. You know, now in a table layout, you could put that information in there, and then I don't know.
Pain in the butt.
Hoo la la. Which brought me to, you know, we talked about Lug Radio, and congratulations on their first birthday. And another thing,
happy
that's
birthday.
Right.
Has been
happy
mentioned.
Birthday. They're very
we'd sing,
birthday.
But it would cost us money.
Yeah, another site that I looked at that was all CSS. What I was kind of impressed with was Tux Magazine.
Yes.
Website.
Yes. Who still have not sent you or refunded your money, have they?
I think they refunded my money. They sent me the letters that they refunded the money.
Okay, so they're just going to put it back on your credit card or something like that.
Right. What I was kind of bummed about is I then went over and I signed up for it, and they're like, when the new issue is released or whatever, when your account's activated, we'll send you an email. They never sent me an email about this. You know, it went on 3 weeks later. And I figured, well, I'll just go see if I can download the latest issue, which is the March 2005. Mm-hmm. And, of course, my account was active, but they never sent me any information.
Ooh.
So I pulled that down. And I assume you did, too, because you had mentioned you wanted
I
to talk
did.
About
yes,
it.
I did. Yes, I did. Because I looked at the new issue. And right now, I believe still now, you can sign up for Tux Magazine. Because they're not doing a magazine anymore, per se. It's a PDF magazine, online magazine. So you can sign up for that and get it for free.
Cool.
If you just sign up for it. And that's at what, tuxmagazine.com, .org, .net, that's something?
Hold on.
All right, Dan's finding
I'll
it.
I'll post it.
He'll post it on the IRC. Yeah, I went there and I signed up for it because I got some kind of email that said, oh, you can sign up for it for free right now. And I went and signed up for it for free. Downloaded the thing. Read it. Really, really nice magazine for brand new kind of Linux people or Unix people or, you know, Mac OS X people. Check it out. It's
TuxMagazine.com, and I'll post it in
TuxMagazine.com. It was really good.
I already did it.
So good that, in fact, I even sent an email to my dad. and told him that he should go over and sign up for it and download it too. By all means, the rest of you should do the same, just to check it out. And the reason why, and Dan and I have talked about this extensively, actually, is that Tux Magazine has a different approach in that this particular magazine actually takes you through using popular applications to get things accomplished. Okay? It's a step-by-step, like, you know, how to use
KDE.
How to use KDE or how to use a specific CD recording program to burn a CD or, you know, something. And it takes you right through step-by-step. It's really nice. Like, nice little tutorials. And it's a very low-key language. It's not real techie speak or anything like that. And it'd be nice for newer people who are getting interested in Linux and actually want to learn a little bit about their computer and their operating system. I was kind of impressed with it. I was sort of bummed. Excuse me. I was sort of bummed, actually, that they weren't going to do a print magazine.
My opinion of it, I haven't had the chance to read through the whole thing. I just pulled it down last night, actually. And, I mean, my first impression was, wow, this is KDE's magazine.
Yeah.
And, which, you know, I guess that's the most popular new user desktop. And, you know, KDE's just fine. I guess. It's not my choice, but then again, Tux Magazine isn't necessarily aimed at me. It's aimed at the new user. So it was very KDE-centric. I think my favorite article in the whole thing would have been the article in the GIMP. A lot because more so than any other GIMP article, you know, just a general information GIMP article, is they actually started to go in and talk about what some of those filters are and what they mean and what they kind of do. And I thought that was really, really great to get a little explanation as to exactly what a Gaussian blur is and some of the other filters and stuff you might find in script foo,
mm-hmm.
what all those features are and what you can kind of do with them. Without getting too technical. Because, you know, you sit there and you're like, well, you know, what's solid noise going to do if I do a solid noise filter? What's that going to actually do for me? Okay, well, there's a little explanation. It simulates smoke. Oh, all right. Well, let's see what it does, you know. So, it's decent. I really like that. I look forward to the upcoming issues that they have, which they list in the back. Particularly the education one.
Yes. I figured you'd be all over that one.
Yeah. And then the money issue, too, about Tux financial applications.
Because mm-hmm.
we always get a lot of people asking, what is it? What can we use aside from Quicken? Or,
mm-hmm.
or what accounting packages are available for Linux? How could I run my small business?
Yeah.
But I wonder if they'll actually cover GNU Cash or whether it just be K-My-Money. Is that a K-My-Money? Was it K? What is that?
K My Money. I've never heard of that one.
What is it? K Wallet? Is that it?
I don't know. I don't use that
what
one.
What is the K? The KDE.
We use that checkbook one. Checkbook tracker.
Yeah,
which is
pretty good. But there's a KDE application that was.
Well, I gave
about
up on that. It was just I was finding like it was taking me too much time to like enter stuff in and then make sure it matched up with my checkbook. So I sit down with it and just. I just figure I can screw up the checkbook on my own. I don't need the computer's help.
No, I like. Well, see, you know, in my instance, right, I wanted to have an on my computer accessible representation of what is actually in my checkbook because my wife hoards it.
Yes.
Right? So. Not that, you know, I let her, hey, she wants to, like, write the bills out and just go to it.
Yeah,
more power to you. However, there are times that I would actually like to know, you know, how much money do we have in the account? Just in case, perchance, I might actually want to do something with it. Which doesn't happen very often because I like, you know, I'd rather have the cash in my hand. But occasionally I like to know how much we have in the account or what we spend on a certain bill or, you know, some stupid thing. And my best alternative at the time, when I was reviewing all the Linux financial software. The easiest one at the time, anyway, was either like do it in a, you know, rig up a quick spreadsheet and do it.
Yeah.
Which, you know, really.
You can do that.
I mean. Think, people. This is not a hard thing, right? Spreadsheets are not all that complicated. You can write up a spreadsheet to keep track of your checkbook. That is not a difficult thing. Dan actually suggested Checkbook Tracker. Because, and you were using, at the time, what, GNU Cash?
Yeah.
The one that prints out your check sheets and the whole bit.
No, that was Free Check.
Free Check. All right. But anyway, I didn't need anything like
that. Wait. You talking about the thing that prints blank checks? Are you talking about?
Kind of, you were using something that was printing checks out for you or something.
That was.
You had like some big complicated package, and I asked you about it, and it was just too complicated for me. All I really needed was a, you know, a
you're talking about, okay, well, back in the day it was GNU Cash, but yeah. Wouldn't run on GNOME 2. So,
okay.
You know, you had to run the old GNOME libraries to get the thing running, and what was it, Slackware 9? Switched over to something was GNOME 2, and it just was a pain in the butt. I mean, we've been on GNOME 2 for, what, 2 years now?
Right.
So, and GNU Cache is still, I don't know if they have a GNOME 2 port yet.
But,
sorry.
At any rate, you know.
It's like, that's a huge application.
Checkbook Tracker was just cool, and it's been working for us ever since. I'm happy as pie.
Yeah, that's a great
application.
You
know what I mean? A nice little easy thing to use. I've used it on, you know, 4 or 5 different Linux distributions, and I just keep it on my, you know, it sits in a directory on my NetBSD server, and I just feed it off of there and do this stuff. But anyway,
Checkbook
I digress.
Props to the Checkbook Tracker.
Yes. Good program.
See, we don't use anything anymore, which is bad. Because the problem we had was the wife uses the computer downstairs. I use the computer up here. I used to keep track of the finances until she stayed home.
Right.
And then she started taking track, and the checkbook was up here, but not on the computer she used. And then it was just, you know.
See, now that's why I have Checkbook Tracker installed on my server. And I can run it from any computer in the house, anywhere.
Well, I talked about doing that, but then she was like.
It's a snap, man.
It doesn't really matter. It's easy. We don't have any money to watch anyhow.
Well, neither do I. I think last time I looked on balance, like last week in my checkbook, it was like $2.50 or some stupid crap.
Pay week tomorrow.
Exactly,
payday.
Yeah.
Payday.
Yeah, my payday was last week, which makes it even more depressing.
Yeah.
But anyway, one more notice about Lug Radio. I promised them that I would mention this. Lug Radio is having their own Linux event. Okay, this is going to be at this is called Lug Radio Live. It's going to be on the 25th of June, this June 2005, at the Molinux Stadium. Hope I got the name right. Molineux Stadium in Wolverhampton, UK. This is not a corporate Linux event. It will have cool speakers and is a community-focused social event, so says our buddy Matt. Get to lugradio.org for more info. And by all means, if you can make it over there,
We're happily accepting donations so we can go over and cover it live for you.
Absolutely. They asked us to come over and be a part of it. I would love to go over there. I would love to go. Unfortunately, like affording a trip to England is just not in my budget right at the moment.
I hear what you're saying.
Especially with that $2.50 checkbook balance that, yeah, going out of there.
That is, and when he sent the email about, would you guys be able to come? And
yeah.
I'd love to go. You sent me a plane ticket, I'm there.
No kidding, man. I would definitely even miss some work, you know, unpaid.
To
go over and do that. That would be really, really cool.
Congratulations to that.
Yeah. Yeah, they seem to be doing real good. They also had a slash dot. We had a slash dot. We didn't even talk about that, did we? Our slash dot hit?
No.
We got hit.
Pseudo slash dot.
Slash dot hit on episode 72, which is that episode that we interviewed Nat Friedman.
A week and a half later.
Yeah. Anyway, when we finally got slashed at it on this thing, we got almost, what, 80, somewhere around 8,500 hits on that one file, which happens to be 30 megs.
Yeah.
Big.
That was my fault.
So that's a lot. That's a big, big hit on our bandwidth.
But we never went down.
We never went down. It kept on chugging right along. It's still chugging right along. No problems whatsoever. I think we used three or four times our allotted bandwidth. However, nobody has noticed yet.
We should announce that out loud.
I don't think they're listening to the show, but you know, nobody's noticed that. Shh, come on, don't tell anybody. So it would definitely, you know, it was interesting, at least.
Yeah, I wanted to say something about it, and there was a comment on Slashdot about it. Why the hell is it such a large file? And, you know, typically our files are half that size. And that's because I screwed up and forgot to press the record button during the interview part when it was playing over here. And I had to piece it together with Audacity. And when it was all said and done, it ended up being 30 megs because of the way it was coded. And I was like,
you heard it here, folks.
I don't care. I'm just going to slap it up there. And didn't expect anything. But that was a mistake on my part, and I apologize.
Yes.
But you know what? Speaking of that information, another complaint on Slashdot was, and we've heard this time and again, is why don't we provide AUG files?
Yes, that's another big issue.
Now, we will be providing AUG files tonight.
Jetso.
For the last 5 episodes. I don't think I'm going to go back and re-encode all the old files in AUG. It's just whatever, what's going to be available on our RSS feed currently.
What did you use to do it? AUG to, or MP3 to AUG?
Well, this is what I'm going to talk about right now. Okay? Because I spent a good 5 hours last night doing stuff like this. All right, now.
Here it comes. I tried the same thing myself.
I said, this would be great. And you know what? I did the MP3 to AUG, and I did all the, you know, from 68 on up to 72, and I was like, man, I didn't think it would take, you know, I thought it would take a lot longer. This is great. And then I looked at the file size. I'm like, 30 to 40 megs in size for each one of these files. And I was like, man, this is no way.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to work. So I started playing around with different levels of AUG and what I can get down to. And I've got them down to about 16 megs a piece. But and the quality is different across them. And I have,
sure, yeah.
I have three different versions. I wanted to play the three different files. Is it ready to stream through there? So
yeah.
You could judge the quality for yourself. Now, this is the I'm going to play just a couple seconds out of Tech Show episode 68. Just AUG 1, 2, 3. And I'm going to play 6 minutes into it. So on each one of these clips. So you
same section of show.
Same section of show on each one of these. This is the low. This is the lowest setting that I had in AUG. This turns out to be 16 megs in size.
Mm-hmm. In fact, the reason I brought that up is because it was either yesterday or today I got their last episode again for the second time. So it is possible that they might have had some sort of problem with their RSS feed and just fixed it. And let me up.
All right. Now that was.
Wait. First of all, did everybody hear that? Because I only got that on one channel.
Do you want me to play it again?
No, but did you hear it?
I barely heard it.
I heard it.
I only got it on one channel on my earphones.
Up a little bit.
Do you want me to play it again for you?
Yeah, play it again. I'll pump up the volume so these people can hear it.
All right.
Anybody on IRC hear this? The reason I brought that up is because it was either yesterday or today I got their last episode again for the second time. So it is possible that they might have had some sort of problem with their RSS feed and just.
So you heard that, right?
I still only got one channel, but yeah, go ahead.
I got both channels. Did you get both channels?
Yeah, I got both channels, but it's very low in one of them, though.
Oh.
Okay, now, do you have... All right, here is the medium.
In fact, the reason I brought that up is because it was either yesterday or today I got their last episode again for the second time. So it is possible that they may have had some sort of problem with their.
Now, to me, the low and the medium sound pretty close, but there is a tinniness, I think, that you can hear. Maybe not over this, but there is a tinniness that you can hear in the.
Where the hell is that hissing noise coming from? Am I the only person that noticed that? Mic off for a second.
No. The hissing noise is coming from the radiator.
Oh, is it? Oh. Yeah, it is.
That's coming from that's an environmental sound.
Because they're talking about it on the IRC. And when you're wearing headphones, like you lose your directional, your sound direction. And all I'm hearing is going on. I don't know where the hell it's coming from.
This is a really bad time now to be playing these clips because you got the radiator cutting in.
I've been, for the last 10 minutes, I've been like, what the hell is that freaking hiss? Is it the fan or something? Or, is Alan over there breathing heavy in the microphone again? What the hell's going on? Anyway, that was the medium one.
You know what we can do is if we shut off the microphone and play it again.
Okay, we'll shut off. In fact, I'll just do it from here. All right, here we go.
All right, ready?
The reason I brought that up is because it was either yesterday or today I got their last episode again for the second time. So it is possible that they might have had some sort of problem with their RSS feed and just fixed it.
Okay, that was the low. All right. You can hear a little bit of tinniness. Well, more so in the low than you can in the main, in the medium. But I'm going to play the medium now. Okay, you ready?
Yep. Here we go. The reason I brought that up is because it was either yesterday or today I got their last episode again for the second time. So it is possible that they might have had.
Okay, so you hear a little static, a little tinniness into
the
voice.
I heard the static and everything through all of them. The volume is bigger and it sounds more tinny each time.
No, well, the volume, because I hit the Olsen mixer on there, because I turned it down before when we were having. So don't judge the volume level. Now, here is the high.
Okay. The reason I brought that up is because it was either yesterday or today I got their last episode again for the second time. So it is possible that they may have.
All right, so three different ones. I thought the high one definitely has the least amount of tinniness to it.
Right.
But you're paying for it with 30 megs in size.
Sure. Well, now, see, that's what, when I'm, because like you said, we have had, quite a few questions about why we don't do OGG files and stuff, and my standard reply thus far has been that, that triples the amount of disk space it takes for it, at least doubles, but it usually triples it. So, what are we going to do about that?
The low quality one is going to be roughly the same size as the MP3. They follow roughly into the same size, 16 megs.
You know what I'm interested in, though? If we actually encode it at the same bitrate we're using MP3, if we just encode it as an OGG file as we're going along, how would that be? Here's the problem we're running into, right, folks? And I don't know if you're getting into this, if this is too technical for you or whatever. We originally encode our show in an MP3. Now, in order for us to get an OGG file out of that, we have to re-encode it as an OGG file, which means we have to pull the audio out of the MP3 format, which is a lossy format, so you're losing audio. And then you have to re-encode it into OGG, which is another lossy format, so that's twice you're re-encoding this thing into a lossy format. You're pulling it out of a lossy format and re-encoding it in another lossy format.
Into another one, yeah.
So, you're losing a little sound quality. It probably doesn't matter a whole lot
because it's voice.
Yeah, for just the talking portion of it. But we do play some music and have some other interesting things going on, too. But and not to mention that it's a really long process.
Hold on a second. They want to hear the MP3 equivalent, so I have it geared up to play.
Oh, okay.
Same thing.
MP3.
Same
here
file.
We go. I'll turn the mics down now. Doesn't sound like the MP3 equivalent to me.
Yeah, it was, but why didn't hold on. It was supposed to, yeah. Oh, that skipped frames. Where's the... See, I rarely use MPG 1-2-3. How do you push it ahead in seconds? What is that?
Good question. Use XMMS.
Dun, dun, dun. Can't you do that with MPG 1-2-3?
I'm sure you can, but I just use XMMS.
It's faster, yeah.
Faster than looking upon how to do it.
Well, I'm doing this from that machine over there, so now I got to fire up XMMS. All right, here we go. Hold on a second.
We've been holding on.
I'm getting there,
man.
What
do you want
me
to hold on to, man? Come on.
Why would you hold on to
Alan? We're boring, no, people. People, look at them in the IRC. They're like bored shit.
Well, you know, this was requested out of the IRC.
He's
damn going to
do anything.
Okay, here
hey,
we
he's
go.
Not, he's not compiling the code.
There it is. Let me.
Give the URL. Some people will connect.
www.binrev.com is their actual URL, but for the stream, it's www.binrev.com.
Kim's got the tall hat. See you in November.
Is his name actually Lincoln? Lincoln. Is his surname Tuesday?
Well, see, I can't do that because I don't leave my laptop up all the time, and most of the time it's at work, and with the firewalls and everything there, they block a lot of those.
I think it still sounds better with MP3.
You know what? Yeah, I'm trying to get to the exact same spot. On XMMS, I don't want to mess around. And you're right. And I think part of the problem with re-going from one lossless format to another, because you have to decode it to
sure.
a WAV file and then
right.
re-encode it in AUG.
Unless we encode it in AUG originally, which is fine, and we can do that and use that. However, people are going to be pissed off if we just switch to AUG. People that download the show and want to play it on their iPod are going to get pissed off.
Well, right, but we also have I got to wonder, I don't know what BinRev streams, if they'll accept an AUG stream,
because
this would be an AUG stream then. So then our stream would go out in AUG unless you set your server to re-encode it to MP3, blah, blah, blah. So either way, you end up, you know, how do we get both of them?
We're screwed either way, and the only way to get both of them is just to, we'll have to, you know,
now,
do it here. And
there's a couple of ways that I thought that we could actually do this. The one way, and both of these processes are going to be labor-intensive, is going to take twice as long. You know, because it takes me maybe 4 minutes to decode the MP3 and then re-encode it into an AUG. It takes me 4 minutes.
It's because you've got a wicked fast computer. Let me tell you how
right,
long
yeah.
it takes on my computer.
I know.
On my 950 megahertz computer, I re-encoded one of the episodes. It took like 15 minutes.
The only way I can figure out how to do this with the least amount of loss in quality is and doing it not taking up another stream on the show to record it. I thought about doing the V-Sound method.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
I would, right.
Yeah, we could grab it, but that takes up
you don't need to use
V-Sound. Well.
No, wait. I thought I could use V-Sound to play it, the MP3 after the show, and it would record it the MP3 in WAVE, and then put that to AUG. There probably wouldn't be as much of a loss.
That's still, you know, it still is, because you're taking a lossless, you're taking a lossy file, turning it into a lossless, you aren't gaining anything back
on
re-encoding
it
back
into
a lossless or a lossy format.
Because I thought about pushing it through Muse again and just playing
it.
The only
way to grab it easily is to grab the feed coming off the mixer and plug it into another computer as a WAV file,
where you encode it at the same time, simultaneously. You encode it on one system as a MP3 and on another system as an AUG file. That's the only good way to do it. Which is what I was going to say. But that's just my idea. I don't know.
How could we do that?
Well, we still have another. I think there's still one more output on the.
Plug something else in.
We'll plug something else.
We just
else
need
in.
Another machine. So maybe we could do that. I don't know.
It's something.
Unless anybody else has any ideas on the chat.
We'll plug the output of the mixer into your super fast.
Good. How about yourself?
What was that?
That was I just downloaded to change the subject real quick. I got an iRiver over the weekend. And for those of you who haven't heard of that yet, it's
does that support OGG?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Yes, it does. It's kind of like an iPod, only it's not. It's just a little, and they're a little tiny, too. They're pretty cool. Check them out at, I think it's www.iRiver.com. You can check them out. Can somebody hit that website real quick? See if I'm full of crap or something. Yeah, that's it.
Spin.
It's coming up.
Spin.
I got the iRiver. It's the 790, which is a 256 megahertz.
256 meg.
Yeah, 250. Yeah, megahertz. 256 meg iRiver, and it, you know, it just stores it in it's static RAM.
Page is in
thing.
Freaking Flash, isn't it?
I don't know. It's coming up over here.
Yeah, I don't have Flash on PPC.
Well, you suck. Oh, well, that's another thing I can tell you about. Anyway, check them out. The iRiver, 256 meg iRiver, which plays OGGs and MP3 files. It has an FM tuner on it with 20 presets. Sounds really, really great. I cannot say enough good things about this particular little toy. The reason that I got it was when we went to Boston, my mini disc player, my mini disc recorder, the portable one, crapped itself. Like, I can't record anything on it. You really need to be able to record on something when you go to do interviews. It just doesn't work, you know. I can't parrot voices, so you have to be able to record on something. Luckily, Alan had his mini disc recorder, which worked awesomely. I think the interview sounded great.
Except for that little quick battery change in the middle
of
the interview.
Yeah, nobody noticed that, right? We just edited it right out. That worked great. But, you know, the fact still remained that, like, I like to do some of this stuff, too, and I can't do it without something to record on. And I'll be damned if I was buying another cassette recorder. You know what I mean? Many or not, they suck, right? I'm not doing it anymore. So I posted about this on my blog.
Your radiator's exploding again.
Yeah, I'm like, man, what's up?
People know it's cold here now, right? So I posted about this mini disc recorder on my blog, on my weblog, and like 15 people emailed me. I never knew that many people actually read my weblog, you know? Like, 15 people email me, and they're like, oh, man, you got to check this iRiver thing out. I've got it, and it works so great, and it records. And sure enough, it does. It's got a little built-in microphone. Not only does it have a line in, but it's got a built-in microphone, right? And it works really, really well. And with this little built-in microphone, you're supposed to be able to record, it's something like, you know, 12 hours or something like that.
Yeah, that little MUVU thing that I got, the Creative Labs one, that'll do 17 hours just a microphone.
And this is just awesome, man.
Problem is it sucks. In terms of sound, it sucks at that because it's like 8K.
Really? Now, this one sounds really good. I want you to listen to just a couple of minutes of what I recorded. I just, like, turned it on record when, like, Alan was getting here. And listen to this and see what you think.
Good. How about yourself? Sorry I didn't get back a hold of you, but by the time I got here, by the time I got back,
sorry, but whoops.
Sorry I didn't get back a hold of you.
Trying to adjust the volume. I'm not doing that.
By the time I got here, got your message, it was like 7:30. I figured you were already on your way. So.
Yeah, I just looked it up.
Pretty close then.
See, and this is just like, it was just sitting on the edge of the table, you know?
Yeah,
it
sounds really good.
Going well. I think it sounds fantastic. And here's another killer feature of this thing. Not only does it work really good, and you can play all kinds of things, and, you know, you can transfer files from Linux to this device, right? I'm doing it right now, via the USB. Send files back and forth, MP3 files and your voice recordings and everything. The best part about this is the size, right? It's not a whole lot longer than a AA battery. and it's only probably 3.5 times as wide. Like, if you tape, like, 3.5 or 4 AA batteries around each other, that's about as big as it really is. It just fits kind of comfortably
in your
hand. Yeah,
about
the size of the palm of your hand.
Does it have its own battery in there?
Yes, it does. Okay. It has one AA battery in this thing. One AA battery, and it will run for 40 hours on one AA. That just astounds me.
Now, is that a rechargeable battery?
No. It's just a, you know, it's just a junky crap, you know, Duracell or whatever. You go pick something up at the store and stick it in there, and it runs for 40 hours, man. You can't beat that with a stick. It's really cool. And I did also notice that, and I have been informed that Mr. Adam Curry has been doing his podcasts with a 1 gigabyte version of the iRiver.
I was going to say, can you change bit rates and stuff on that?
Yes, you can. This thing has more options than... it's going to take me a year to go through all the options on this.
Cool.
You can change sample rates, and you can change this, and you can change that, and you can change the way the displays look, and you can... I mean, you know, it just anything you can think of, you can change.
I may have to go out shopping.
It's... well, I'll tell you what. I got this. They were on sale. I think they're still on sale at Circuit City for $100. You cannot beat this thing, man.
I know where I'm going tomorrow.
Beat it with a stick.
You can't. They're awesome. You can't beat
$100.
They come with your own headphones. Now, here's the only problem that I have with this stuff, right? And it comes with a little, you know, the little neck thing you put, you know, you can hook it up and carry it around with you. And they're really great. The only problem I have with any of these things is the headphones. They always give you these, the little earbud things.
Yeah.
And, like,
they're
don't like earbuds.
They're painful after a while.
Yes, they are. They give you, like, you know, a little earbud ear or whatever. I don't like those things. And I still have not hit like a Radio Shack or something where I can buy a real pair of just little headphones, kind of like the ones you have on. That would be awesome.
Pro 35s.
That would be awesome. The ones that I have on, nah, they're a little bit too big.
A little too heavy.
But I don't like the earbuds.
They work if you're up in the city, though.
Yeah, sure. But that's the only thing I do not like about this thing is the little earbuds. Everything else is just fantastic. Works really,
now,
really good.
Now, I don't know if you were... You mentioned this when I walked out of the room. Dude, they had the thermostat up to 80 degrees. this thing connects, obviously, as a mass storage device.
No.
No? You had to get special software?
No, there's a little piece of software out there that somebody wrote called IFP-Linux. You just download the program and compile it up real quick. It takes a whole 5 seconds. And you type, like, if I want to see what's on there, I type in IFP, IFP space LS, and that's all it takes, and it'll tell me what's on there.
Now, when you want to transfer stuff, is it IFP CP?
When you want to transfer stuff, it acts like FTP. So it'd be IFP space put space whatever the hell file it is, or IFP space get space whatever file it is.
Wasn't Jono... writing something for the iRiver?
I think so. I think they were writing something.
I remember seeing something on his blog.
And now this IFP software, like, this is not the only software out there for these things. Some of them, I guess, do actually show up as a USB mass storage device, depending on, like, the firmware they have in them or something.
Okay.
Mine in particular, I've been using this IFP program for. But like I said, there's a bunch of different ones. There's libraries out there. There's GUI things that were written in KDE and GNOME. I haven't even tried any of them yet because, you know, the little command line thing, five seconds to install, and it works just fine for me, right? But it's really, really cool.
So you say, Dan, we taking a ride to Circuit City tomorrow?
I'm thinking about it.
I really like. And how much
was
it?
Try that new one over 33.
Yeah, and how much? Well, that's where I got this.
Okay.
That's where I got this. How much was it? How much are the iPods? The cheapest iPod you can get.
iPod is $199.
Cheapest one you can get. That's for the shuffle, right?
No, a shuffle is $99 going up. That's for 512 megabytes. Mini is $199.
But you still can't record.
No,
very
you
well
can't.
On
even
them.
That's the thing. You can't record on. You can't play OGG files, right?
No.
And it doesn't have a built-in FM tuner with 20 presets and every other freaking thing. Not only can you record voice through the microphone on this, it's got a line in. You can record anything on this from anything. Okay, stereo line in. You can adjust the settings and stuff however you want it. It automatically samples everything and records it, encodes it into an MP3. It'll also do that with the radio. Like your little FM preset crap, FM radio that's built into it, you can record the radio. And yeah, just
trouble is radio sucks, but
well, it sounds pretty good, man.
See,
I really was thrilled.
This is the tough thing about these. It's like you have
40 hours on a AA battery. Like you can't beat that.
You have like that's this awesome. iRiver, and it's like it's got like everything. Everything that I would love in something like this,
mm-hmm.
except size.
Why? It's got to be bigger?
No. I don't mean size. I mean, like, capacity size. Bigger.
Oh, no. You can get them in different capacities.
Oh, I know, but then, what's the next?
Then the price goes up.
I can't look at the website.
Okay, the next one, when I walked in there, the next one, the 512 meg model was $150.
Right.
And then I quit looking.
Because the thing is,
I know they go up to like a gig, though. You know,
you look at that, you say, "All right, for $150, I get a 512." You know, okay, say 200, you might get a gig iRiver, but Apple sells the iPod at 4 gigs of space for that same price.
Right?
Why can't iRiver sell 4 gigs for that same price?
Well, they might. You know, prices might come down.
Because
I
would love, for the AUG support and the recording capability alone,
right.
I would love one of those. But I don't know if I could justify that was, to my wife.
Well, why
just
I...
don't tell her.
That's why I picked this one in particular. First of all, right, like, it's almost impossible to buy a damn iPod. All right? Because every time, not only do they not have any Apple stores around here or any good ones, every time you go find one, they're out. Like, we just went to Boston, for crying out loud, right?
Yeah.
Went to Boston. They had no iPods. None. Not a Shuffle, not a Mini, not a nothing. No, they did have a Blue Mini, right? They had a Blue Mini. A Blue Mini. And that was it. And this was like in Boston, you know what I mean? And around here, there's nothing. We're in Pennsylvania, for crying out loud. The iRivers, you know, they have them in every damn circuit set. They probably have them in Walmart, too, for all I know. I might even have been able to get it cheaper than this. I didn't even look.
Someone
mentioned Circuit
one,
City to me, and I went and got it.
I would probably buy an iRiver. I would not buy an iPod.
Yeah, because this has what I needed. Like, the main reason that I wanted something was I needed something that I could record an interview on. You know? And one of the guys,
like my iPod.
Yeah, one of the guys that I was talking to said that he actually uses this to record sermons in church. You know, you can just do the line in thing and it works really well. And that was the thing I need, you know. That compounded with the size and the fact that it runs 40 hours off of AA and, you know, it has AUG support, which is really cool. That was a selling point for me, man.
Now,
Gorkon says Walmart has them, too, according to the chat.
That's a nice little, sexy little thing, too.
It is, man. It comes with, like, 6 songs or something like that you can play.
Alan, your iPod, is it working in Linux?
Yeah, I have no problems with it.
Because I cannot get mine to work anymore.
GTK Pod.
I can't even mount it anymore. It comes
Ooh,
up as an unrecognizable device. Which floors me. I've done it before, but now all of a sudden it just stopped working. And this was before I took it apart. All right? This was before I took it apart and stopped working. I don't know what the heck happened.
I think mine is seen as like SDA2, I think it is. You know, dev/SDA2.
That's what it used to be for me, too. But when I look at it, when I plug it in through the FireWire, and I look at it, it comes up and it says
USB,
unrecognizable device.
Can you try through USB on that? Or
I don't have USB capability on this thing, or I don't know if I do. I don't have the adapter for USB. But that, you know.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
It bums me out. It bums me out.
I know, knock on wood, I'm having no problems.
Oh, there you go. I refer 40 gig hard drive MP3 player, $378.
There you go.
It plays videos.
Check that out. The 512 meg iRiver is 137 at Walmart. Ooh. Ooh, I might have to take this one back. It's only $35 more dollars, man, for another 250 meg.
Now, people ask me, do I have disk load? Do I have that? Yes. I mean, the same machine. I used to be able to plug it into this Ubuntu right here, and it would auto-mount itself as a mass storage device. Won't do it anymore. I don't know why. Won't do it on here. Won't do it on my Linux box. Will not do. I mean, my Slackware will not. Comes up, and the kernel says it's it's a device. It sees it there, but it can't recognize it. Which is very, very odd.
Yeah, I don't know what that would be wrong with that.
No, in OS X, it finds it fine. But, you know, and overall, the thing, my impression with the iPod is nice, but it's too closed. For instance, you heard the horror stories about the batteries. That I know when this battery goes, I'm not going to pay $100 to replace it. It's not mine.
See, there's another problem with the iPod right there.
It's not mine,
man,
to begin with, but.
That's another problem. You know, they make that.
So you're just going to take it back and, change it with another one.
Yeah.
So you know, man. You take the battery out of this iRiver, you just pop the cover off the back and put a new one in, and there it is.
They're great. I think they're great.
Well, I happen to like mine because basically I've got my entire CD collection on it.
See, now that's the thing. It's a capacity thing. But you can go and get.
When I pop it into the car and I take it with me to work or whatever, I put it in the car, and it fulfilled my wanting to have an MP3 jukebox in the car.
That's awesome. But what happens after you drop that iPod a few times?
Well, I'm hoping the little rubber condom that I have on there will help it.
Because the iPod actually has a hard drive in it, right?
Yes.
So, you know, and here's the deal with hard drives. You know, we all know this. We're techie people. If you bang hard drives around enough or shake them up enough, eventually, they get errors in them. This little iRiver, this doesn't have a hard drive, man. It's just.
I'm hoping by the time it gets errors in there, I'm going to grow bored of it and bought something else.
There you go. He's going to go out and get himself the 1 gig iRiver, right? Just so he can show me up because he's a bastard. Just like that.
I've already got my mind set on the 512 here, dude. Mm.
See, just so he can show me up because he's a bastard, just like I said.
Well, see, what I should do is I should give the iPod to my wife.
You should give the iPod
because
to
I
me.
Never use the only thing I use it for anymore is to listen to
my wife
podcasts.
Wants one. My wife wants an iPod, and I told her she can get one. She can have mine if she buys me the 40 or the 60 gig one.
There you go.
She's saving.
So screw it.
Yeah,
we'll see what happens. That's why when it wouldn't turn on and I was having all these problems, I'm like. Dude, I don't care. If it's broken, I'll throw it out the window. I pop the thing apart, and it's interesting in there.
I still say we should put the Linux on there, because you have the version 3, so you can do that.
It does some wacky things if you
just
put it back together without
like.
Plugging the hard drive in. It's amazing that it'll play songs that aren't there. It's wacky.
Yeah, but I tell you what, this little thing, I do what I needed to do. I'm happy. Yeah, and it is. Wow, it's 9:30 already.
Time for some music.
That's another problem. Music, actually. We have,
a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
We got, like, Penguin Planet we can play. Or we could have, and she thought my name was Wayne Gretzky.
Well, let's play that. I don't remember hearing
we
that.
We played that, like, last week.
We could just turn on Skype and let somebody talk for 15 minutes.
We could. We could indeed. I'm looking to see what else we have in here. We might have something else in here.
We've got what and said this and that.
Ooh!
Love Radio's first anniversary, birthday.
We can do this one. We haven't played this in a really long time. How about Neuro Disney's Feel the Pain?
Oh, yeah, that's a popular one.
Yeah.
Why am I even guessing?
Oh, there we go. There we go.
When, yeah. When I think of Alan Naked, that's the song going through my head.
Man, when you think of Naked, I feel real bad for you.
Yeah. You know what? Speaking of hardware, I actually replaced the CD-ROM drive on the stream, on the streaming box.
No way.
Dude, I'll tell you what.
It was like the cleaner one up there.
Yeah, that's like clean and everything.
I'll tell you, man. I popped that Dynabolic in there, I was like, I turned away, started up, you know, and I looked back and it was already on. I was like, holy mackerel, that rocks. So that should be a little bit of an improvement there.
Oh, that's awesome.
And, you know, another thing that I wanted to talk about is I got my Slackware 10.1 disc set this week.
Yeah.
And, which is great. I love it. I have the subscription. Of course, I've been running Current all this time. And now it says, on the side of it, it says complete with KDE and XFCE desktops, as opposed to GNOME, because Slackware isn't going to be including GNOME anymore.
So they say now.
What is happening is he's deferring it off to the other projects, like
right.
Dropline,
right.
And there's a couple others. So I tried out Dropline this week. Pros and cons about Dropline, real easy to install. Brings itself down. Biggest con right now is they're holding off till GNOME 2.10 is released for official 10.1 support, which should be March 9th. So the current Dropline GNOME, although the 2.8.3 will run in Slackware 10.1,
right.
They're really waiting until 2.10 is released. I think it's this coming up week before they're going to make the Slackware 10.1 official packages for it, which means that when you do the Dropline GNOME, it's going to downgrade some packages automatically, like X Screensaver, which may have had some new screensavers in it, because I really like X Screensaver. Dropped it down to a different version. GTK gets dropped down to a different version.
Mm-hmm.
Dropline includes Galleon again, and Epiphany has been returned. But they also package Firefox and Thunderbird for Slackware. Now, the pro and con about that, too, is if you've been accustomed to grabbing Firefox and Thunderbird yourself, you have it in a different location, it's going to install, it's going to be available just like Mozilla is available in Slackware.
Right.
So it's not going to mess with where you have it originally installed. Like, I put mine under the op directory. So I got op, Firefox, op, Thunderbird.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, you know, just makes it a little different. So it's worth it.
But it's still Slackware, which means it'll still work.
Oh, yeah. It runs great.
Better than anything else.
The hard thing about it is I figured I'd check out the Dropline GNOME, just the interface, and I dropped out of Fluxbox, went into GNOME, and it's really sweet. It looks really, really nice.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they did a fantastic job on that. Not fantastic enough to
How
make me switch.
How long did it take you to get the whole thing, though?
240 packages. I had to switch the default mirror to something faster. A little over an hour, I think, to pull down all the stuff.
Well, that's not too bad.
So, and to install it, like I said, they have a Dropline installer, which is just like the Slackware installer,
right.
Which allows you to download them and not install, to install it, to update your current installation, or to remove Dropline GNOME completely. So it's a great little utility. It's really good. And if you want a more current Slackware GNOME, Dropline is one of the ways to go. There's two other methods. I forget what they are, but they're off of Linux packages. You can find them. Dropline, I think it works pretty well. And speaking of installers, which is I don't know if you read the review of OpenOffice 2.0 beta on NewsForge. Apparently, they're not going to have an installer for OpenOffice anymore on the Linux side. You just have to install the RPMs, which means they're going to make them in RPMs. And I'm kind of torn about that. I mean,
well, that kind of sucks.
They said that the installer was a pain in the ass to maintain and keep it working properly. Now you just install it. Now, they said, don't worry, there's going to probably be Debian packages made by somebody for it, which means eventually there'll be a Slackware package somewhere. But, I don't know.
The nice thing about it now is you don't need to have a pack, you know,
right.
Anybody's packages for it.
Which, you know, is kind of, in a way, it's odd because you have Dropline has an installer. QDVD Author, which was really you know, I was really impressed with, for an application, automatically comes up when you run configure with an installer to allow you to do in configure. And it really, he did a great job. Speaking of that, he called me back last week with a fix for the compiling problem I had.
Right after the show,
you know, really great. Fantastic job. Well, anyway, XFCE, big thing about their installer. Firefox has an installer. So why is OpenOffice going away from an installer?
I don't know. I think maybe they made it too complicated. Because it's a Java installer. You know what I mean? They probably just made it too damn complicated for them to keep it up. And perhaps they'll rethink their decision and make a nice little shell script that everybody could use kind of thing to get things installed. And that would be good. Right?
And I don't know if you've noticed this, but it's getting kind of distressing that there's new pop-ups, JavaScript pop-ups that are just blowing past pop-up blockers, particularly in Firefox.
Yeah, pop unders actually, but
all of a sudden I've been getting hit by these like crazy for some reason. Like,
yeah. Stay off the porno sites.
I'm not on the porno sites. where did I go? It was a Linux site that I went to. And
besides, it's not the porno sites that are doing.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I'm getting them off. Like, I went to a new site and it popped up.
A nude
site. What? Yeah, a nude site. But it's... Now, the what they say in order to stop this is you disable JavaScript support in the browser.
Yeah, but you need JavaScript support in some.
But then, the flip side is then any JavaScript that they might have on the page that is legitimate that you don't doesn't pull up a pop-up doesn't work either. That sucks.
That sucks. But you know what doesn't suck? Not at all in the least bit.
Lug radios. Birthday.
Yeah. That, and Adam York sent me some stuff. Adam York, our buddy. You might remember us mentioning Adam York before because his wife, Pam York, sent us some of her wonderful music to play on our show. I wish they would send us the whole CD. Hint. Hint. Send the whole CD and let us play more. Good stuff. Anyway, Adam... who keeps in contact with me via email and is a rabid Bash Potter supporter, I might add, as well. So that makes him even cooler. Sent me some CDs to review for the tech show. And even though, you know, we don't have very many minutes left, I will make quick mention of them. He sent me Feather Linux and Damn Small Linux 9.3. And I actually, you know, I looked at both of them. And here's the scoop, right? Both of them are derivatives of their Nopix knockoffs, right? They're based loosely, I guess, at this point in time, on Nopix. However, like somebody went through and pulled the extra packages out that you really don't need. They run really, really nice, really, really fast. Damn Small Linux is a bit smaller than Feather Linux. They both have basically a lot of the same features. They work really good, and they both have the interesting thing is they both use a desktop icon controller package called XT Desktop. Right now I can't find it now. Let me look on the other one. XT Desktop. I'm pretty sure. That's what it's called. And it's not the most happy thing to get running on its own, you know, somewhere else. However, it's already set up, and yes, XT Desktop. However, it's already set up and running on both of these Linux distributions. It's got nice little... So it, basically what it amounts to is right there, running Fluxbox and this XT Desktop. It has nice little clickable icons for you. Of all the things that, like, a normal person would need to do. Okay, little icons on the screen, nice and clickable. Everything's configured. Everything runs really fast. I would bet that if you installed these, actually install them on a hard drive, the thing would be kicking fast. But the best part that I keep jumping around on these things... They're really, really small. Like the Damn Small Linux one that I have is one of those credit card size CDs. And the Feather Linux is one of the little mini CDs. Now, The other day, the day after I got these in the mail, my wife's Ubuntu machine crapped out. The hard drive was having DMA
problems. Perfect timing.
Yeah. So I needed something, you know, to go in there and check it out with. And I just grabbed this damn small Linux disk, and I went in there and popped it in. And by golly, it came right up and was working. And, you know, just a regular, basic, good old Linux distribution did its stuff. Popped it in, ran a file system check on the hard drive, told it to fix everything right up. You know, that fixed her computer for her, so she's happy about that. And I was real happy that I got to really put damn small Linux to the test. And they're really cool. The only real difference between the two that I can that was real apparent to me, because I haven't had a whole lot of time to like use them, is that damn small Linux loaded a lot faster.
You know,
that's about it. It's really cool. I mean,
I downloaded damn small Linux a couple weeks ago. Somebody brought it up on the show, and I could have sworn they said that you can install it on a flash drive and run it right out of Windows.
Yeah, that's what it says on the website.
No, I thought that it would bring up, like, you could run it inside of Windows, not run it.
I think they mean you run it instead of Windows. I haven't tried, but it does say that on the website.
I saw on the website that you could, if your system supports booting off of flash, you could boot damn small Linux from a flash drive. I could have sworn in this person who was talking about it said something that you can boot it right inside of Windows.
Or it says right on the website, or run DSL inside Windows from a 128 meg USB pen drive. Let me click on it really quick and see what it
is. Now, does that mean it will start it and reboot?
I'm going to tell you. Still transferring data.
Because I couldn't find that on their site when I went the next day.
Still transferring data. It doesn't really say, though. Oh, it's running DSL inside QEMU will be slow in comparison to using a CD or direct USB boot. So it's running inside QEMU, which I'm guessing is a little emulator thingy.
So you could you put QEMU on the flash and then...
I'm guessing that's what this is. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to have to look into that now tomorrow.
Yeah, that's what it says. Find the speed of DSL running from within XP to be comfortable with a processor of 1.6 gigahertz or higher, but preferences will vary. But the convenience and the cool factor are very high.
Yes,
sir. And just to mention, real quick, I want you guys all to go check these two different distribution sites out. You're looking for www.damnsmalllinux.org. That's damnsmalllinux.org. And go check out Feather Linux as well. And that is featherlinux.berlios.de. Check them out as well. And, you know, both sites include good screenshots. Check them out. You'll see what I'm talking about. They have nice little, you know, little applications are good and the whole bit. And check them out. They're really good. And you know, like this damn small Linux disk just came in mighty handy yesterday. So
should I fire up Skype?
Happy, happy. We have 7 minutes. We can talk
with
somebody for
get
7 minutes.
Quick 7 minute phone call.
7 minutes. 7, 7, 7, 7, 7.
Somebody want to ring us? Go right ahead. Oh, wow. Marcel Gagné's on.
Ooh.
Ah!
Marcel the man.
Happy Bischoff.
Wait, is someone going to call us? 7 minutes? Nobody wants to talk for 7 minutes? This is where we connect with our user audience, you know? Our listener base. And nobody wants to talk.
Just pick one.
We pick
close your eyes and click on one there.
Meeny, meeny, miny.
Joel no. McLaughlin. How's that?
Who? What?
Third
who's,
one down.
Who's Joel McLaughlin?
Joel.
Well, we're going to call him and see.
Well, he's on.
He's Joel. He's the Joel. Isn't he the Joel? He's the Joel that did the bash butter ad.
You know what? You want to... Let's call this guy.
Who are we calling?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. whoa, come on. Wasn't supposed to do that. Let's find out how the open store is doing. It's been a couple weeks.
No, it's every week. Yeah, we talked to Andrew.
Must be someone there besides your wife to answer, sir.
How can he be available but not picking up?
Maybe he's peeing or something, man.
Here we go. Finished.
You're finished, all right.
Oh! Oh, he's going to call us. Hello!
You just call me?
Yeah.
You would have known that if you were there listening to the show.
I was, but the stupid thing that the audio won't overlay.
He was peeing.
It's evil.
You know it. How's the open store doing?
All right. And actually, I'll be heading up to RIT for next quarter, so I won't be working there anymore.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, I'm gonna take over your job, going for assistant.
Where? At RIT?
Yeah.
Where's RIT?
I just say, and for the rest
Rochester,
of us, exactly where is that?
What was that?
Rochester, New York.
Ah, so that's next semester. You mean summer or fall?
No, spring.
Spring?
Yeah. It's tight.
Wow.
But I can make it.
What semester are you in now?
Winter.
Oh.
Well, quarter. Both of these colleges run on quarters.
Oh, okay, because
so
I remember...
It's not like trimesters.
All right, I get it now. I get it. So why are you switching?
Just a change of heart. It's the best way to state it.
Oh, so you're leaving animation?
Yeah.
And you're going for IT now? System administration?
Yeah, the geekier path, yeah.
Ah.
Oh.
Wow. The man. So are you going to be like, you have to catch up now or something? Or?
Yeah, a little bit, but nothing too major.
Wow, so you going over to summer then, too? You taking a summer semester?
I meant just to try and, you know, catch up that extra quarter that I missed out on. That may be what happens.
So you're gonna
not this summer, though, because I have other things planned.
So you're going to be leaving to live in New York. You're not going to commute, are you?
No.
I was going to say. What's the open store going to do without you?
I don't know. They have knowledgeable people there, though. They'll be fine without me.
Maybe they can move the store up to New York with you.
Or better yet, you can open up another.
Yeah, there was talk of opening up another eventually. There's some other people that they know that are interested in making the open store, too, basically. But, yeah, we'll see.
That would be cool. The open store, too. We need to have, like, an entire chain of open source stores.
Yeah.
So you're going off to be a Windows system administrator.
Oh, heck no. No.
Oh, is this school isn't going to give you your MCSE?
No. No way. No, I was looking at it.
No, they're going to make him pay for it.
They don't give out that for anything.
The curriculum's pretty neutral on OS, and actually a lot of the stuff is Unix.
Man.
In nature, so it's more, you know, it's not, you know,
that's good. So when you
MCSE, but
when you get out of school, you'll actually know something about computers then, as opposed
yeah.
to knowing how much to spend on getting
not
a license.
Not what product to buy.
Right. That's good, man. And perhaps one day you can run a company so that, you know, there's at least one smart company out there somewhere.
Yeah.
That knows that, you
the
know,
only honest one out there.
Right. You don't have to be honest. At least, you know, if you're informed enough to not run Microsoft, that's a big plus in my book. So that the system men don't have to sneak around behind you. Right. That's the sucky part. Yeah, Rochester. Hey, that's a good climate change from where you are now.
Yep, going from T-shirt weather right into the blizzard.
Uh-huh.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, I grew up real close to there. in upstate New York. So bring yourself a good pair of boots and some heavy shirts. You'll need them. A snow shovel would be good, too. Not one of them cheap old plastic suckers.
Patch a plow to myself or something.
When you like the coal shovel.
I'll be leaving down here on the 10th or the 11th way in the morning and get up there like in the 12th, I think. It'll be pretty crazy, but I'll get it up there.
Now, are you living on campus again, or is this going to be?
Yeah.
So you're going to have a nice connection still.
Yeah.
Good.
You become another mirror site for us.
I think DreamWorks is weeping, aren't they?
What's that?
DreamWorks is weeping right now.
Oh.
They were waiting for you.
They'll get on without me. It's all right.
All right, Andy.
But maybe not. Yeah, Andy, we're done over here. We got to get going, but thanks for actually answering the phone, you know, after, yeah. Of course, we tried to get a hold of you, you know.
Hey, it's also. Blame everything on also.
Yeah, blame it on also. Also working fine over here, buddy.
All right, good luck, man. We'll talk to you in a little bit.
Yeah.
Have a good one.
Right, goodbye.
And that is that.
Is it?
It is. Really? It is time. You know what time it is, boys and girls?
We're at the last minute. We got to close it up.
Yeah.
Repeat. Pete and Repeat are sitting on a fence. First. Pete falls off. Who's left?
No.
Repeat. Oh, Pete and Repeat.
Pete and Repeat. All right, everybody.
Hey. See you next week.
Yeah, see you next week.
Good night. Thank you.
For episode 74. Ooh, we got a lot of these. Huh? Good night, everybody.
Nighty night.
Linux Link Tech Show.